Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby.
Here's a mistake and a throw. Puck by Richard. He scores. A taser from Jonathan Toews. His first.
Hello, hockey fans. How are you doing today? It's Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show, here with Season 6, Episode 30, an episode we're calling the Ranford, a.k.a. Big Bad Billy Ranford, straight out of Brandon, Manitoba. You might know him best as the Conn Smythe winner in 1990 for the Edmonton Oilers, as he led them to their final Stanley Cup of their dynasty era. We'll get into more Bill Ranford talk, as the episode number would suggest. But yeah, co-host Tom here with you, as always. And I got co-host Jared sitting by here. Jared, how's it going today?
Not so bad. Nice day. We're recording on a Sunday morning.
And, yeah, a little Sunday morning coffee talk. Yeah. Coffee and hockey talk.
Yeah. Busy weekend.
Yeah. As weekends tend to be, which kind of goes against my hypotheses of what a weekend should be.
How are you doing? I'm looking at you here. You got a bit of a crooked smile going on.
Yeah, listeners, your co-host Tom here a week ago took a puck in the mouth. I was playing some hockey.
Something he said he'd never do.
And I ended up with three broken teeth and a big fat lip. The lip has come down in size. It's still a little bit swollen, but I'm able to drink and eat mostly now. So, I mean, I'm doing okay. I'm doing a lot better than I was a few days ago. I'm kind of feeling like a real hockey player now, to be honest with you. Like, I feel like I could, get in there with the Mark Messiers and who are some of the other famous toothless grins of the NHL world.
Number one toothless grin of all time is Bobby Clark.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm quite on Bobby Clark's level, as I've only got the... the couple broken teeth. I'm not missing a whole shelf. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The dentist seemed optimistic we could get her fixed up once the swelling and stuff goes down and the lip heals up. So, I'm feeling okay these days. I will say that I'm probably going to rock a cage when I go back to playing hockey, whenever that is. Yeah. I'm not going to rush getting back into it right now, but, I am going to go to the rink tonight to watch the team and, maybe work a bench door or so.
There you go. Run the bench.
Yeah.
Good. Glad to hear you're on the up and up.
Yeah. And thank you for swinging by the hospital there and also help as was needed that night.
For sure.
A long night in the hospital, just for about an hour worth of actual medical work, I guess. So that's the way she goes with the old healthcare system. I do have a rather charming whistle now and then that just sneaks out because of the shape of my teeth now.
Yeah.
And my 3.5-year-old daughter, the next morning after telling her what happened and her looking at me, mm-hmm. she's like, "What?" Actually, no, she goes, "It's adorable, actually." And I just cracked up. I'd never even heard her use the word adorable before. And for her to find this adorable, well, She thinks it's pretty neat. She gets me to tell me the story. Tell me about when you got hit with the hockey puck.
There you
So,
go. There's might be a children's book in the
yeah,
works.
stuff of legend. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So, yeah.
Any word if Bill Ranford has all his teeth?
You know, I wasn't really able to get to the bottom of that. I don't know if he does or not.
And in a lot of the photos, he's not really a big smiler.
No,
No.
not a smiley guy.
Pretty serious looking.
I would say, I mean, he's from Brandon. It's a serious town.
Yes.
I would say that he does have his teeth. Just he's a goalie, you know, they got the mask on all the time, right? So that's my guess, but who knows? You can see him smiling when he's holding up that Conn Smythe trophy, though. You can see that smile there. But Bill Ranford's kind of an iconic goalie from the late 80s, early 90s for fellas of our vintage, you know. You know, we mentioned off the top, he does have two Stanley Cups. One was as a backup, he didn't really play, and then a couple years later, that was 88. And then a couple years later in 1990, he was the goalie of note to take the Oilers to the cup. In 1990, he was the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. That was the Oilers Cup without Wayne, of course, and the final one of their dynasty. The 88 Cup, where he was the backup, they played the Bruins, from which he was traded. So him and the Bruins goaltender Andy Moog, they swapped places because Moog, of course, was the Oilers netminder for many of their cup runs. And yeah, so then they kind of traded places, and it was the young upstart Bill Ranford who got the better of Moog in that 88 final. I guess the Oilers kind of rocked three goalies through their cup years. There was Grant Fuhr, there was Andy Moog, there was Bill
Bill
Ranford.
Ranford. Yeah.
So,
Kind of funny that two of them were traded for one another.
yeah. Interesting. And then you look at the Bruins situation right now. They've got two goalies who, you know, it sure feels like one of them, Ullmark, is probably going to be moved, but we'll wait and see this summer to see if any action happens. But,
Well, it's interesting you did mention like he was the MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs, won the Conn Smythe trophy. He's the only goaltender in history to actually win the Conn Smythe MVP, the Canada Cup World Cup MVP, and then the MVP of the Men's Ice World Hockey Championship.
Huh.
There's a
That's
fun little fact for you.
yeah.
Looking back, So Bill Ranford did move around a little bit.
Yeah. He's part of a
He,
couple big trades.
yeah. Well, that trade, the one that's kind of okay. So he originally moved from Boston to Edmonton with Jeff Courtnell, and Andy Moog went the other way. But the big one for me was the one where he was dealt to Washington
Yeah.
with Adam Oates and Rick Tocchet. So, three pretty established veteran players.
Yeah.
And going the other way were Jason Allison, Anson Carter, and Jim Carrey, the goaltender, not the comedian. And
Jim Carrey, yeah, I mean, he with Washington, he had himself a
did
breakout
he?
season, won the Calder Trophy as Rookie of the Year,
Yeah.
was a Hart finalist, I want to say. You know, he had like one of the best goalie seasons ever, and then he kind of, well, fell
Yeah.
off the
Fell
and
off.
couldn't keep up the pace or whatever.
Yeah,
But
and so Ranford was initially the starting goalie in Washington, but then he got hurt in the opening game, and Olaf Kolzig, one of
oh,
the
from
great all-time names, NHL names, Ole the goalie,
yeah,
had taken over.
he played his junior and minor hockey in, I don't know about all of minor, but in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia.
Who, Ole the goalie?
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Yeah, he came over from his native Germany as a youngster and somehow ended up in Dartmouth and played for the Dartmouth Subways, I'm pretty sure. And then off he went to, you know, the big leagues.
Well,
You know.
and So the Capitals actually went to the Stanley Cup Finals that year. So Ranford could have won a third ring with three teams, except that they lost. So
who'd they lose to that year?
Colorado,
probably, or something. Detroit, maybe.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah. 97, 98.
Yeah. So that was a Jaromir Jagr, Washington Capitals, probably.
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah.
Then he, tail end of his career, he kind of moved around a bit. He went from Washington to Tampa, and then from Tampa to Detroit.
He retired as an Oiler, though. He signed a contract, retired as an Oiler. I do have to segue on a tangent, on a thought tangent.
Good. Oh,
and
good.
It's about Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah.
This year is the 44th straight season where a teammate of Jagr's from some point in his career has been in a Stanley Cup final. Isn't that wild?
Did you say 44th?
Yes. 44 years that a teammate of Jaromir Jagr at some point in his career is playing in the Stanley Cup final.
And so who's the teammate this year?
He's got a couple Florida people because he played with Florida, right?
Yeah.
There's teammates on Dallas because he played in Dallas, and then he never played in Edmonton, but there are teammates of his at some point who are now in Edmonton, and I can't remember off the top of my head who that is. I'd have to bring up. That was just like a very interesting post I saw on, I think it was like NHL Europe on Instagram or something. And I'm like, why do I follow NHL Europe? Why not, Jared? For fun facts like that, I suppose. Yeah.
It's a pretty awesome one. Well,
Bill Ranford.
he's also currently the director of goaltending for the LA Kings, it says here, which, you know, if you know anything about the Kings' goaltending woes.
Well, you know,
Bill, get on it, buddy.
That's a tough knock against Bill because Cam Talbot was excellent this year. But, you know, I think that's more on the GM that he doesn't have a better goaltending depth chart. You know, who's the Kings goalie that was really on the up and up? Cal Peterson.
Yeah.
And the last couple of years, his trajectory was going up, and this year, just, you know, he ended up getting sent down, and I don't know if they bought him out or traded.
He got traded to Philadelphia.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Kings, if you you think they got to do something more with their goaltending situation because Cam Talbot's getting a little long in the tooth, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one thing I will say about Bill Ranford, I mean, there's a lot you can say, and this is a random point to go on. But so the year that he got traded to Edmonton from Boston, he spent most of that season in the AHL with the Maine Mariners. Mm-hmm. And being a Maritimer at that time with all the AHL teams, we talked about, I think, last week, you have Fredericton Canadiens or Halifax Citadels or Cape Breton Oilers, all that. I remember the Maine Mariners. They played against those guys. They must have been in the same division. And the Maine Mariners logo is like...
Isn't it a trident?
It's like an M with a trident kind of thing, I think. Yeah,
It's pretty sweet.
It might be. I remember it. There's like a ship steering wheel in an M, but there might be trident sort of undertones in there. But yeah, I don't know why, but I just really remember the Maine Mariners. So anyway, Bill Ranford spent some time there. But yeah, I don't know. Like that, you know, he moved around a bunch, as you say, but not only as an NHLer, as a kid too. He was all over the place, you know, played in BC. He was born in Brandon. I don't know how much actual time he stayed in, you know, lived in Brandon or whatever, but, you know, he definitely, I think, you know, you say he had a dad that was in the Air Force or something.
Yeah. So I wonder if he was maybe stationed out at Shiloh, which is a big forces base. He says he lived in Germany for a few years. And then as a kid, He learned to skate by taking figure skating lessons before becoming a goaltender, and played for teams in such exotic locales as Portage la Prairie, Prince Edward Island, and Red Deer, Alberta. I like how it's like Portage la Prairie, Red Deer, Alberta, and then Prince Edward Island.
Yeah, they're just like general, in general, this province. It's all the same, isn't it? Yeah.
Sure, yeah. There's Red Deer on the ground.
But I mean, that prepared him for his NHL career. Yeah. He did have, so, a 15-year NHL career, 647 games. His final, you know, regular season record was 240 wins, 279 losses, 76 ties. For a career save percentage of .888 and a goals against of .341. Now, listener, you might be saying, well, that's kind of, in those days, that was pretty good. you know, he played in an era with a lot of goals. So the majority of his games were in Edmonton, and that's where his best years were. You know, he had a little bit of time in Boston, 122 games, stops in Washington, Detroit, Tampa, you know, unremarkable probably at best, but you know, mostly remembered for his body of work with the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think
couple of cups. You know,
yeah, couple cups. He did win, you know, he won the Conn Smythe. He was you know, never really in the conversation for a Vezina or anything like that, but definitely had nice gear, had a mullet. You know, there's a lot to like about Bill Ranford. I mean, style-wise, I feel like he was kind of on that cutting edge of the new goalie style that came after stand-up goalies of the 80s. And he was athletic, making kick saves, glove saves, sprawling out. You know, he was he moved around in his net. I wouldn't call him a butterfly goalie, but like he was on the cusp between stand up and butterfly, you know.
Yeah.
And always entertaining to watch, that's for sure.
Well, and we should go to a song. The one thing I will say about Bill Ranford, you know, he had some decent stats, as you mentioned, as an NHL goalie. His international stats playing for Team Canada, so he played in the World Cup, and he played in
the Canada Cup.
So 91, he played 91, 93, and 94, started 20 games. His record, 17-1-2.
Nice.
With a goals against average of 161.
There you go.
Billy, getting her done.
Yeah.
Four shutouts. He had a shutout in every fifth game. That's nice. That's impressive.
Yeah. You gotta like it. All right.
You gotta like it. Yeah. So we're going to play a song in honor of the recent developments in your dental life.
Yeah. This one's going out to my teeth. Yeah.
This one's going out to co-host Tom's teeth. This is Bahamas with a song called Hockey Teeth, appropriately. You know, it kind of speaks for it all. I don't know if the Bahamas guy, Alfie, if he used to play hockey and was diverted to...
I bet he did. He's a good, like, Thunder Bay kid, you know, and...
Was he diverted to a career in music because of a hockey teeth incident? We'll never know.
we'll never know.
Anyways, here's Bahamas Hockey Teeth on Talking Hockey, the Hockey Talking Show.
Though there were men before me that held you in their arms, I got a love so hot and getting hotter, it's setting off fire alarms. Though there were girls before you, I don't remember their names. beautiful thing to watch a love our season change. Every night when I lay you down to sleep, you know I'm thanking the Lord for blessing you with hockey teeth.
All right, we're back. That was Bahamas with Hockey Teeth, his song dedicated to my teeth. Co-host, I'm here.
Was it specifically for your teeth?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I saw Bahamas on tour about 10, 12 years ago, and he said, this is a song about Tom's future teeth. And
Nice guy. Nice guy, that Bahamas.
A decade later, it came true. Wear a full cage, kids, or don't. I don't care. I'm not your mom. But just, you know, I mean, almost 15 years of playing as an adult with
no incidents.
No incidents and whatever. Did you
scrub out the whiteboard days since last accident?
Yeah. I texted my brother and told him, and I said, hey, I got a matching tooth like you, because he broke one of his front teeth right in half by crashing into a goalie and bonking his face right on the goalie's helmet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think he scored on the play at least.
Wow.
But
there you go. It's all that's really all that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listeners, we're going to dip into the mailbag. This is an interesting development. Look, everybody knows I'm not on top of relations in terms of you know, my online presence and so on. I do, but I'm not. I don't try hard enough, I think, is what it is. And I, you know, when creating this radio show, podcast, and whatever, I made an email address for it, as one does, and I rarely ever look at it. It's mostly a couple of, you know, items from a mailing list or whatever, but every now and then, and I'm making a pact to start checking my email a little more often, but every now and then you get some fan mail and it's really exciting. It's super fun. We got, you know, a listener named Wayne Schultz here in Winnipeg, and he reached out to say that he just loves the show, and he's like, it's such a great mix of, you know, vintage and new and whatever. And he's an interesting character, actually. He's the guy, Jared, who worked as a scorekeeper at the Jets games, like the NHL. And, you know, he's a retired gentleman who's been involved in hockey his whole life. And yeah, quite an interesting story. So we just want to give a shout out to listener Wayne Schultz. How you doing, big guy? Thanks for tuning in. And the other one we wanted to
okay,
bring
so this
up
one
was...
this one's kind of wild.
Yeah,
you know,
so
you wonder about the reach of things in the day and age that we live in, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, it's Talkin' Hockey is an excellent program. It is a radio show / podcast that is produced in Winnipeg. And, you know, I'm just going to throw this out here, and I'm going to sell us a little short. I'm like, you put out a podcast, who's listening, right?
Yeah.
It's a bunch of guys we play hockey with that we shout out regularly, some local folks. And then during the pledge drive, Pledgerama, a couple months ago, then it's just all of a sudden people are donating to the show, and it's just like, who the heck
like,
are
wow,
these guys?
Yeah, it's so amazing, right? And I think this is a very common theme with community and campus radio too. People hosting shows and like they're doing their bit and they're like, oh, not that anybody's listening, but people are listening, you know.
Sure.
People love campus and community radio. They love hockey, Talkin' Hockey. And you know, and I've said before on the show, going back to even before you came on board and when it was Randy and I said, you know, I think we'd be doing the show anyway, even if nobody was listening,
for sure.
Cause it's fun to get together once a week and talk hockey. So,
absolutely.
But yeah, listener, Patrick Hoffman, down in New York State somewhere, I think. Right.
That's what I gather.
Yeah, he's a bit of a hockey journalist himself. He's written, on various websites and blogs and,
Including
covered
like Sportsnet.ca and the Hockey News.
hockey news. Yeah,
You
a
might have
couple of
heard of those.
the big boys. And yeah, he's he grew up around hockey. His dad was involved, with the Rangers, I think it was, and
Yeah.
or he was a lawyer or something, and
It
then
was involved with some folks.
like very involved in hockey, and he grew up around the game and everything. And yeah, and so just thanks for reaching out there, Patrick. And we would so he's offered to give a little bit of NHL analysis for us at some point. So we're definitely going to reach out to Patrick. So we just again, like thank you. If you're out there listening and you want to just drop a line to say, hey, love the show, or maybe you want to say, hey, you know what, I'm fact checking you here. Everything Bill
Everything we
Ranford
said
did not
was
play for
wrong.
you, whatever. Yeah. If you got any tidbits you want to drop our way, definitely drop us a line. You can do that via Instagram. Our Instagram is at Talkin' Hockey Podcast. You can, send us an email. The email address is at well, geez, Louise. It's like Talkin' Hockey.
And you wonder, listeners, why your emails haven't been getting through.
Exactly.
I think it's,
Sorry.
is it talkinhockey@gmail.com?
Talking hockey pod at gmail.com.
Yes.
See, I don't even know the address. I had to like press a number of buttons to find that, but I found it for you. And so, and I will be checking the emails more regularly. So thank you for those who have written in. And yeah, put out, you got anything to say to us? Let us know. Best way
Well,
is probably either Instagram or email. Or if you find us walking around town or at an event at a hockey game or wherever, pull us aside and let us know. Always a pleasure.
folks, I did my pledge to you, this co-host Jared's pledge to you, a diamond pledge, mark it down. I will make sure that co-host Tom checks the email.
There
In fact,
have it.
I'll be like, hey, you check the email. I'll just text them. Check the email. So that's where we're going with this. So lots
There's a
of
couple things going on these days in the hockey world, hey?
well, a lot of things are sort of coming to a head, so to speak. You alluded to it in segment one, but the Florida Panthers were the first to book their spot at the Stanley Cup final. So we're recording Sunday morning. Tonight, the Edmonton Oilers can punch their ticket with a win over Dallas.
You know how I mentioned how there's 44 straight years of Jágr teammates in the NHL final? There is this year. It wouldn't have mattered which team went through to the final, but there is a number of Winnipeg Jets connections on each squad. So with the Florida Panthers punching their ticket, of course, they're coached by former Jets coach Paul Maurice, who is amongst, if not the league leader in all times games coached. And he took the team to the finals last year, came up short. So, and they've also got Jets legend Kevin Stenland. They've got Dmitry Kulikov. There might be more, but there's at least those three. The Edmonton Oilers, one of their assistant coaches is former Jets defenseman Mark Stewart, who such a beauty. And I'm a little saddened that he's not behind the bench of the Jets, but what are you going to do? Any other Jets connections on the Oilers? I think he may be the lone one. Hard to say. And then, of course, Dallas has their Rick Bowness's former team, and so there's that connection. But the strongest connections were with the Jets or with the Rangers and Panthers. The Rangers bowed out Saturday night, 2-1 final. They lose the series 4-2. That was a very good series. It was very close. Now, in terms of advanced stats, Corsi numbers, etc., I'm sure that would paint a picture that Florida dominated that series. But you look at the scoreboard, pretty much every game was a one goal game.
Yep.
And it went
overtime,
6 games.
Situations.
Oh, I think it was, what, 3 or 4 overtime games in a row?
Uh-huh.
And the Rangers, in one of those OTLs, kind of shot themselves in the foot with the Zibanejad terrible pass to the, you know, middle of the ice where nobody was. Wheeler had to take the hooking penalty on Barkov's breakaway, and then they go to overtime, and or they're in overtime, sorry, and then they go to the power play, and I think it was Reinhart scores, like, you know, 13 seconds in or whatever. So, you know, way she goes. But the Rangers' big problem was the goals dried up. They couldn't score.
Well,
Shesterkin,
the first line,
played amazing.
First line, Zibanejad, Kreider, and Panarin, I think, yeah, over the 6 games, scored 2 goals between the three of them.
Yeah,
and
not good. And Kreider had both of them, maybe? No, Panarin had one in the
garbage time of game six. Yeah.
And Kreider had a big one earlier in the series. But Zibanejad hadn't scored in 10 games. Completely disappeared, in my opinion. And somebody in one of my WhatsApp hockey threads, you know, was like, could you imagine coaching Zibanejad? What a frustrating player to coach he must be, you know? And I agree. So, I don't know. President's Trophy winning team. I guess if you want to call it a curse, it continues.
Mm-hmm.
The team that wins the President's Trophy is best team in the league. They bow out again.
Once again,
it's the 11th straight year. The last time the President's Trophy team won the cup, it was, who was it? It was, I don't even know, but it's been a decade, probably, I'm going to say. So
it's been a while.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so Florida, a lot of credit to them, though. And Paul Maurice, you know, he took some heat here in Winnipeg. But also, to me, here's something I realized last night watching the highlights and everything and the post-game stuff. This Florida Panthers team, I mean, they look a lot like the Jets in about 2018 when the Jets had their best version underneath Paul Maurice.
Made that Vegas
and they made that run and everything
to the final
and in the playoffs and in hockey and the NHL playoffs, you need bounces, you need everything to go your way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Florida's had that. They've got game breakers, they've got great players, they got a great goalie.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the style that they play, it looks a lot like the Jets of a number of years ago there.
Yep, definitely.
And I guess that's the Paul Maurice specialty.
Yeah, well, so, I think a team like this is exactly the sort of team that is suited to a guy like Paul Maurice. Very veteran heavy, very you know, I throw around the term professional hockey players a lot. They're all professional hockey players, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
They're all getting paid to play, but these guys are all like seasoned veterans, pros,
yeah,
right? And a lot of the Florida guys right now are coming up. They're contributing exactly what you think that they would contribute. You know,
guys are
doing things, and you know, like even Tarasenko, I think, scored the game winner in game six.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like deadline acquisition, came over from Ottawa for a bucket of pucks or whatever. And all, he was disappointing for most of the year, but that's the kind of guy that you want in the playoffs, right? He's a goal scorer and he did what he does.
Came up with a clutch one.
And then Bob the goalie has been awesome.
Yeah, he has been, yeah.
So,
and I mean, that was a real goaltender series. There was one game, I think it was game two, and it was like a 5-4 or 6-5 final or something. Other than that, they were all like 2-1, 3-2, whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty close. Both goalies outstanding. But yeah, Bobrovsky, safe to say he's on the case.
He is certainly on the case. hey, another team that was on the case, the Minnesota squad in the Professional Women's Hockey League, the PWHL.
They won.
We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. They won the first ever Walter Cup, defeating the Boston squad. Now, the one thing I will say is pretty cool first season. Let's get some team names in there. Let's
I
get
think
some,
that's got to be coming next year,
yeah,
right?
Like, you know, the Minnesota Spirit or Fighting Eagles or, you know, whatever.
The Minnesota Land of a Thousand Lakes.
There you go. Minnesota Lakes. Mm-hmm. So they defeated Boston 3-0 this past Wednesday in the fifth game, game five, to claim the Walter Cup. Taylor Heiss won.
Sorry,
the,
was it a best of five series or best of seven?
It was a best of five. Yeah.
Okay, so it went the distance.
Yeah, both Minnesota series went to five games. Taylor Heiss was voted recipient of the Alana Kloss MVP award. Led the PWHL playoffs in goals with five, and was tied for first in points with eight. Pretty awesome. Minnesota finished fourth overall in the regular season, beat Toronto in the first round, and then beat the Boston squad. So I would say pretty solid first year for the PWHL, and I hope that things just kind of grow from here.
Yeah, you got to think they laid a pretty good foundation in year one, which I would say was a success, and that's kind of what it's all about this year, is kind of laying the foundation, you know. It's only, you got to think it's only going to grow. And as the sort of best players in the league become more, as they get branded more, you know, I think it'll be good for the league. Definitely, like, team names are going to be a good step because I think that just kids grab onto that kind of thing, you know.
For
merch and all that.
Yeah.
Which is a huge, you know.
The kids like the merch.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, for sure.
Tonight,
and then the other thing is going on is the Memorial Cup.
Which is tonight.
Yeah,
right?
The final is Sunday night. London Knights, Saginaw Spirit. The Saginaw Spirit are hosting. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody gave them a chance, but here they are in the final. And honestly, I'm not giving them a chance against London, but whatever. London's just like, I mean, they're the CHL sort of creme de la creme. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they do it, but year after year, they're right there usually.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of cities that have very solid CHL programs, but London just does it better than anybody, it seems. And,
Well, so it'll be pretty interesting. Final, I think, in the round robin, Saginaw lost to London, as everybody did. Saginaw lost to London 4-2 during the regular season. They split their games 2-2, and then Saginaw lost in six games in the Western Conference final of the OHL playoffs. So I think that Saginaw's got some unfinished business here. Take down the big dog. If they won, would be the first team to win as a first-time participant in the Memorial Cup since the St. John Sea Dogs won in 2011. And they would also be the third host team in the last six to win the Memorial Cup. Windsor won in 2017, and St. John won in 2022. Should be interesting. They kind of demolished Moose Jaw, who was the Western Canadian representative, beating them 7-1.
Yeah.
In the
wheels fell off Moose Jaw's bus on that one for sure.
Yeah. Although I will say, Moose Jaw forward, great name too, by the way, Jager Furkus.
Yeah.
Who was picked in the first round last year by maybe Seattle. Maybe Seattle. It's either Seattle or San Jose. Anyways, he was named the CHL Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Moose Jaw, they had a good team. I was kind of pulling for him, but came up a little short. Yeah.
A little short.
I'm just trying to find that St. John Sea Dogs 2011. I think that was Jonathan Huberto was on that team, pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, Memorial Cup's always cool. And so the final going at going tonight. So, yeah. And the other thing that we should mention, because we didn't, we talked about the Eastern Conference in the NHL, but the Western Conference, and the Oilers have a chance to take Dallas out and advance tonight. And I mean, I don't know how much of that series you've been watching, but that's been a great series. And earlier in the series, it looked like Dallas had a bit of an edge, and Edmonton kind of beat themselves in one, at least one of those games that they lost. I think it was kind of more on Edmonton. I mean, credit to Dallas, but the last, I don't know, last couple games for sure, Edmonton just looks unreal. Steamrolling. Yeah. They look great. And I was very critical of Stuart Skinner, the Oilers goalie. But, I mean, he just about pitched a shutout last game.
Yeah.
And after getting two scored on him early in the game previous, he then shut the door for the, I think it was a 5-2 win, and then a 3-1 win. So, you know, the Oilers have just been looking like a well-oiled machine. And
You had to squeeze that one in there, didn't you? Yeah. Well-oiled machine.
You know.
I will say a lot of folks did not give Edmonton much of a chance going up against Dallas. And Edmonton has really, really stepped it up. And Dallas has kind of, you know, like we talked about it last week about how Dallas had just so much depth. They had the young guys going.
Yep.
Everybody has fallen pretty silent. I will say, with the exception of Jason Robertson, who has been pretty good, scored a hat trick the other night. Will be interesting to see.
Exactly. And everybody was going on about Dallas's depth, but I think if you look at the last, well, at this series in general, I mean, Edmonton's depth has really stepped up. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, the top four scorers in the NHL playoffs are Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Evan Bouchard, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Sure. But after that, I mean, you expect the big guns to do their thing, and they are.
Yep.
And that's why Edmonton is successful.
Yep.
I mean, they're successful for several reasons, but you're not going anywhere if Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl aren't leading the way.
Nope.
But then they've had, I mean, Evan Bouchard has looked every bit the, I mean, he just, you know, I think he must be in that conversation now that when people talk about Cale Makar, I mean, how can you not talk about Evan Bouchard in a way, right?
Yeah.
It's exciting to think for a Team Canada down the road, we could have both of those guys, right?
Well, so. And Bouchard has taken such a leap this year, such a leap in throughout the season, right? And we've talked about it before, but how much of that could be potentially attributed to KG old Paul Coffey there, number 77, being behind
also,
the bench?
Yeah, and I mean, exactly. And his partner, Ekholm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that guy's been solid. But, you know, and Bouchard still gets a little bit of criticism about his defensive play, but also his numbers are very good. Like, the ice is just tilted the other way when he's on the ice. So it kind of speaks for itself. You can say, oh, he's not the most physical, not the this, not the that, but I mean, he gets it done.
Yep.
But then you got all the depth pieces. Like, I mean, Corey Perry came in the other night and had being out of the lineup. And
hey,
then
did you know that his nickname is the Worm?
No,
it fits.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like Edmonton kind of, they had their backs, backs were inching closer and closer to the wall. They were down 2-1. And then I asked my buddy TJ, he's a big Oilers fan. He lives out in Edmonton. And I said, so what's the prognosis for tonight? And he's like, well, either we're going to win or we're going to lose. Like, that's
very in-depth.
Thanks, TJ. Appreciate that. And he's like, no, you know what? I'm feeling good because they're pulling strings now. They're making changes. They're bringing in some guys. And
In Broberg, and he's played two in a row now. And he's a young guy that they've kind of been bringing along slowly, and a lot of promise. And I mean, he looked great, and he scored on a nice half clapper from the blue line there in the 3-1 win, I believe it was. So
yeah, and you've got to think like this, a game four, game five of a big series is exactly why you bring in a guy like Corey Perry, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, totally.
He's
it had surprised me he was out of the lineup. I didn't realize, and then when they brought him back in, I was like, oh, okay. But I mean, he's an old fella. He needs his
he needs some rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should go to a song, but before we do, St. John Sea Dogs 2011 featured Jonathan Huberdeau, as you mentioned, Charlie Coyle.
Okay.
And old Winnipeg favorite, podcast favorite, Nasty Nate Beaulieu. Was the leading defenseman.
Yeah.
52 points in 53 games. Nice
Was great. Yeah.
And they were coached
by good guy.
Coached by Gerard Gallant.
Interesting. Okay.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So you went and got a little culture last night at a local drinking establishment, and you're gonna play one of those bands, right?
Well, sure. I mean, so local neighborhood heroes cheering for the bad guy.
Couple of my Lumbercats teammates.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
three of five.
Yeah, I was gonna say the whole team, but four
of five actually.
Yeah,
the drummer plays too.
That's what I thought. So lots of hockey ties in there for sure. Mm-hmm. And a great band. And we're going to play
Grand Rapids.
Yeah, a little song about Grand Rapids. So right here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show, it's Grand Rapids by Cheering for the Bad Guy.
Built up a dam in Grand Rapids. Them rapids ain't rapid no more. They dug up the bones of the old ones, and they stuffed them up in their dirt walls. Then they flooded an island where people lived, and they moved those people off. Everybody was real torn up, but their grandchildren heard about what was lost. 'Cause people knows how to be power.
All right, that was Grand Rapids by Cheering for the Bad Guy right here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show. Bit of a mouthful for me to get out there with my broken chiclets. It's time for everybody's favorite segment, Pack-a-Day Habit, right here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show. This is when we rip open a vintage pack of junk wax. Jared was good enough to go on over to Can-Am Sports in the West End and pick up some packs from the early 90s.
We're going to have to make a trip over there. Maybe yes. I'll pick you up and you can come join me.
I would like that.
Because it's pretty awesome.
Yes. So today we're opening the Upper Deck 91-92. This is the Upper Deck High Series, which means that this pack contains a random assortment of cards. From numbers 1 to 700, cards 501 to 700 are known as the high number series, and they include traded players and rookies for the 91-92 season. So kind of a late additions, if you will. This pack was $2.99, Jared. You're shelling out.
Yeah.
The pack we opened last week, the Apeachy Premieres, 99 cents. So you know you're getting quality with these bad boys. And honestly, these are some of the best cards of that era. I love them.
So I will say this is the second year, I believe, that Upper Deck produced hockey cards.
Yeah.
I think they kicked in 90-91.
Sounds and good, right?
They were, as far as I know, in terms of hockey, Topps always used to do this in baseball where they would do the high series where they would kind of do like series two or phase two. Mm-hmm. Upper Deck introduced that in hockey, and the whole game changed when Upper Deck started producing cards because their cards just looked so beautiful.
Well, they got the, yeah.
And they introduced this hologram technology, because at the time, hockey cards and sports cards, memorabilia in general, it was a real boom, and counterfeiting was going on. And so Upper Deck put this holographic stamp on their product that you couldn't counterfeit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
I didn't know that. I mean, I just assumed it was to take advantage of holographic technologies of the early 90s.
And they also, at least in the baseball at this time, were really taking advantage of the holographic technology. They had a whole series of like silver holographic stickers that they would put out.
I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with this set here, the 91-92, it's the 75th anniversary of NHL, which I previously stated is the best year of NHL ever. Mm-hmm. One other thing that makes the Upper Deck so great, that was always one of my favorites, was when you flip the card over to the back, they had another generally full-sized picture for most part, which was awesome. So not only did you get the picture on the front, but there was a secondary picture on the back. And I always liked how I thought that they had a good stats column. They basically took out the bio, the written, you know, this player likes hot dogs and, you know, scored a hat trick on December 3rd, 1982 or whatever. Mm-hmm. They took those kind of things out, put the picture there, and then had kind of a 5 or 6 year statistical summary of the player. Mm-hmm. And I always really... I don't know. I always pored over the stats in the backs of the hockey cards as a kid. And I just thought that Upper Deck cards were just the best.
So what do you got?
I opened my pack and I've picked out kind of a couple notables here. Mm-hmm. The first one I'm going to share with you is Steve Smith. And I just really like the look of this card. He's sitting on the boards at the bench with his helmet off, a Gatorade bottle sitting there. You know, I don't know if that's warm-ups or in-between play or whatever, but he's just kind of catching a breather.
Sure.
And looking mighty good in the meantime. Steve Smith, defenseman of the Oilers. Another one I got here, and I remember this card because I actually had the entire team set of the Chicago Blackhawks this year. And this is the Eddie Belfour team set checklist. And it's a real nice kind of, it's not a photo. This is an artist's interpretation of Ed Belfour. Really nice looking card. And on the back, you know, Stu Grimson, Dominic Kasich, František Kučera, Cam Russell, Jeremy Roenick, Dave Manson, Steve Larmer, Michel Goulet, Dirk Graham, the list goes on. Then I've got a Young Guns Pat Falloon straight out of Western Manitoba,
Foxhorn,
the Parkland.
Pride of Foxhorn. And if we had more time, I would put my headphones down and I would go over to my drawer where I keep some of my notable hockey cards. I've got that card and it's autographed.
Oh, beauty. I love this card for a couple reasons.
Yeah.
So Falloon was a high draft pick of the
number two
Sharks
overall
the year that they entered the league. Yeah. And while he never really lived up to his lofty draft position, still, you know, made a good run of it. But I like this. I mean, look at the stick he's using. That's crispy. Hey, he's got great style. This is the early 90s. Nobody's using a white stick like that. Mm-hmm. And his helmet kind of tilted back very casually.
A little jaunty.
Yeah. And then the last card I'll share with you, and I've got some other good ones in here, but I've got one from the World Junior Tournament. This is what I liked about this set. They had all these subsets.
Yeah.
And this is Nikolai Habibulin, the Bulin Wall.
Whoa, look at him.
Playing for CCP, the communist whatever of Russia. What does CCP even stand for? But Bulin, the Bulin Wall, in the process of, looks like he's about to get scored on, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Nice little pick of Habibulin at the World Juniors. He went on, of course, to play for your Winnipeg Jets, Tampa Bay Lightning, probably a few other teams.
Sure.
So those are kind of my main ones. I had an Alex McGillney and a Fedorov, The Fedorov one, I will just bring up because I'm like, what's going on here? This is full on Russian card. And they photoshopped out the Russia logo, I'm pretty sure, because it just looks like he's wearing a practice
A
jersey.
white practice jersey.
And
Well,
about McGillney, because I did have a McGillney in there as an all-star for the Wales Conference. Did you know that Alex McGillney, one of the best wingers of his era,
oh yeah.
he's not in the Hall of Fame.
No.
I find that hard to believe.
Oh.
Anyway, what did you get?
Well, my pack actually kind of mirrored your pack. In a lot of ways. I've got the first one. I've got this Russ Cortnell
Oh,
just
I
because
love that. I
look
remember
at that
that one.
card. Look at him.
Yes.
Look at him.
Yeah.
He's just over there and he's just like,
And
hey,
that is a
hey.
practice jersey.
He's just like the look on his face, like, hey, bud,
Yeah.
are you looking at me? Hey, you looking at me? Look at
He's
him.
chewing some gum.
Looks like he's chewing some gum.
He's got the ear flaps up.
I
Yeah,
love that CCM, that version of the CCM helmet. Very nice.
classic.
I've
Beautiful.
got a Thur
Oh.
and Fleury Calgary Flames checklist.
I like that. Oh, I like the aura around Fleury on that one.
Right.
Very nice.
I've got Owen Nolan,
Okay.
a Nolan
All-star.
Nolan All-Star card.
That a Wales Conference All-Star card?
Wales Conference. I like those jerseys. They're all stripey and such.
Yeah.
This one is just for you. A Patrice Brisebois,
Yeah.
like I think it's his star
Okay.
rookie card.
Yeah.
But the
I
coup
don't
de
know that he became a star. I mean, he was a solid
he was a
NHL
solid
defenseman.
defenseman.
Yeah.
The
Yeah.
coup de grace though. Bob Nystrom, a black and white
Oh,
Heroes of Hockey card. So, because it was the 75th year anniversary, they did this whole series. Look at the back. They did this sort of barnstorming
Oh,
Heroes of Hockey series
yeah.
where they would like show up and
Is that
would.
McTavish?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure that out. But we
Couple of.
featured him on episode 13 this year.
Yeah.
Bobby Nystrom. Look at
Couple of helmetless beauties right
you've got
there,
the
mustachioed
hair
men.
is flowing, the mustache is thick. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous look. So
Speaking of mustachioed men without helmets, I do have this Johan Garplanov card now featured in the Johan Garplanov
that
card
Snaps
is Harold Snaps.
with the Blues?
Yeah, Harold Snaps with the St. Louis Blues, no helmet, mustache, a little bit of male pattern baldness going on.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Yeah. That's a good segment there of pulling pack-a-day habit. The
Yep.
91-92 Upper Deck NHL
Yep.
set.
Yep.
Beautiful, beautiful cards. Yeah,
It's good
gotta like them.
times. It's
I
good
got a
times.
nice stack of cards growing here from the packs we've opened over the last few weeks. I'm gonna have to get a new page for my hockey card binder or something.
There you go. I think we're out of time.
Yeah, we should probably get on the move here.
Yeah. So we're gonna play another song for a couple of reasons. Number one, I love the Muppets. I grew up on the Muppets. There's a real sweet new Jim Henson documentary out now on Disney Plus. Came out a couple days ago. It's called The Idea Man. And by the looks of the trailer, have the tissues at the ready. It's going to make you
Oh, it's a
cry.
tearjerker?
It's a tearjerker.
Oh boy.
But he created the Muppets. He created Fraggle Rock. He created the Dark Crystal. All
Yeah.
sorts of different stuff from your childhood.
Yeah.
So we're gonna shout that out, and then also another nod to poor co-host Tom's teeth. The artist we're gonna play is Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. Ethan, he was worried. I told him you got a puck in the chiclets, and he was worried about you for a minute, and then he was just like, So what are we going to call him now? Are we going to call him like Toothy Tom or Toothless Tom? And then I said, well, we could call him Dr. Teeth. And there so we're going to play some Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem from the Muppet Movie. Came out in 1979. A track called Can You Picture That? And that's it. That's all.
Right on. Right here on Talking Hockey, the Hockey Talking Show. Keep your stick on the ice. And look, if you're shooting it up through the neutral zone, don't throw high wrist shots, you know, head height through the neutral zone. Just don't do that. Come on. Come on. All right. We'll see you next week.
Is a rocket. There's nothing in my pocket. I keep it at the rainbow's end. I never think of money. I think of milk and honey. Grinning like a Cheshire cat. I focus on the pleasure. Something.